Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur.
Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 233 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyler, your host once again. Today, my guest is Chad Zakanchik. Chad is the founder and creator of a company called Better Legal. And what Better Legal seeks to do is to provide a one-stop shop for business formation and entity formation in all 50 states, for all 50 states. So if you are a business law attorney or solo practitioner who wants to offer services to your clients and allow them to help them create legal entities for their businesses, this is a great platform to use as kind of your back office approach. It can save you time, money, and effort. We all know that's important to solo practitioners. So I think it's a really interesting platform that a lot of attorneys might want to take advantage of. And so that's why we're having Chad on the program. You'll hear an interesting story about how he was supposed to be on almost a year ago, but something happened that might be interesting. But anyway, he's here today, and I hope you enjoy Chad Zakanchik. Chad Zakanchik, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I am just very excited to have you here. And, I'm going to share a horror story about the law entrepreneur here to our listeners who weren't with us a year ago. But we are recording this episode almost a year to the date that Chad and I first spoke about what we're going to talk about today as well. And in the only time ever since then or before, we had a technical snafu and lost the recording. We've now put in systems in place to ensure that never happens again. But unfortunately, Chad, you were the one and only guinea pig that proved the need for that. So
does that reflect poorly on my karma, or
what, I don't know?
But maybe
I'm delighted to have you back on the program for real this time. Chad, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Yeah, my name is Chad Zakanchik, and I'm a founder of Better Legal. And we are kind of an online, more of a filing service. So we have a, direct to consumer, but also a B2B model where we just do online filings for LLCs, corporations. We provide registered agent service, state compliance service, permit and license search for those that need that. And we do it as quickly as possible. And in my opinion, and based on what our customers tell us, we are the fastest in the industry. We pride ourselves on doing it as quickly as humanly possible. So whereas other online services might take 30 days and upcharge you to do it faster, we just have a single package. We provide everything that everybody needs. So there's no confusing matrix of options, because most consumers, or just most entrepreneurs or business owners, don't know that they need an EIN or an operating agreement or what that is per se. So we make it kind of a one-stop shop where you pay one price. You get it as fast as the state will allow. So New York is instant. We do it in one day. Texas is 2 days. And we provide the state filing, the EIN, and the operating agreement, or the bylaws if it's a corporation.
Yeah, it's a need that is obviously really expansive and required in the business world. As I go around just talking to folks in my own sphere of influence, I'm stunned about how many people are in business for themselves, either from the kitchen table or something more elaborate, and they've never taken the time to really protect themselves by forming a proper business entity. it's really shocking how many people fall into that problem.
I'm convinced that if they taught this in high school, the amount of businesses that were officially started annually would skyrocket. I think it's people just think that they can start a business and just start doing it through their personal checking account. And obviously, you know that they can, you know, but that's not the best way to do it for a lot of different reasons. So, you know, we try to do our best to educate people. But I think it's just something that's super, super confusing to a lot of folks.
Well, and I think our listeners will attest to that. I know, you know, a number of family law attorneys or, you know, business consulting attorneys who get hit with that question all the time. I remember I had one family law case represented a guy who was a personal trainer. And look, he just started out helping out a buddy, charging his buddy $100 for a training session. And pretty soon that blossomed into 10 people. And he was stuffing a lot of money into his wallet, but he never graduated from running his business out of his wallet under his own name. And when he got sued, it was an issue. And so,
and let's not even get started with if you're starting with another individual,
right?
You know, if you're starting with another person, he said, she said, of like, no, I was going to get 60%, and you were going to get 40%, and nothing's written down, obviously.
Of course, it's the kind of thing that gives lawyers business.
Yeah.
So, right. What was the impetus for you guys getting into this line of work? What made you think that this was going to be a viable opportunity for you? Because as you noted in here and in other places, you're not without competition.
Right. Yeah, it's actually really funny. So my business partner and I started. We kind of went off on our own at the same time. He was at a law firm and I'm just a tech guy. And he was going off as a solo law entrepreneur.
Yep. Solo practitioner,
thank you. My dad's been a sole practitioner for his entire life and it just blanked on me. Mm-hmm. So my buddy became a sole practitioner and he was putting he had 7 months runway till he ran out of money. And later I found out that it wasn't cash, it was on credit. So he was really trying to get any business he possibly could. And he was on UpCouncil and Avvo and anywhere he could put his name and get business, he was doing that. And he was complaining that people were coming in saying, hey, you know, I want to form an LLC. How much does it cost? And he said, it was $1,500. And they said, whoa, that's you know, LegalZoom charges $600. That's outrageous. Why do you cost so much? And he's like, I'm a real person. And, you know, you come into my office and I customized the legal documents just for you.
And a real attorney.
And so, yeah, I'm a real boy. And he was complaining to me about it over beers. And I was like, well, why do you charge so much? And he goes, well, dude, it takes me 3 hours to make the operating agreement. And I'm like, well, what takes you so long on that? You know, isn't it just a boilerplate document anyway? He goes, well, yeah, but I've got to like plug in all the information and then I've got to like, you know, they want this or they want that. I'm like, dude, I mean, so most people probably are just getting started. They don't have answers to the questions that you're asking them, like waterfall payments and this and that and the other. It's like you're playing Mad Libs with people that don't know the answers yet. And so why not just create like a bare bones document that will cover a lot of edge cases that can be added on to later? And I'll set you up with some tech on your website so people can just fill out a form and it'll auto-complete the boilerplate document that you've got. And then you can charge a more reasonable fee for people that don't have the money for something like that. And I mean, it took some pulling of some arms. You attorneys just you love hourly work.
It's so funny this story you tell because I can relate. You know, because I have one foot firmly planted in the legal sphere and the other one really firmly planted in tech because I came from a tech world. And when I'm hearing the story, my brain's working the exact same way. Well, dude, you can really automate this. There's a lot of different tools right. You can use. You can put it on your website. But the attorney's like, oh, that's too much change. I don't know if I want to lose.
My favorite rebuttal is, but I use ProDoc. I'm like, you mean that CD you got in 97
exactly.
from the CLI course?
Exactly.
So anyway, so I built that out for him And he, you know, got the same leads that he was getting from Avvo and UpCouncil and all these sites. And he started doing this and he goes, we're going, you know, we're on a trip together. We're sitting next to each other on the plane. He's like, okay, I'm going to do this for the first time. Like, time me. So he gets done. He's like, okay, how long did it take? And I go, 9 minutes and 38 seconds. He goes, oh my God, this is amazing. Yeah. And so he, you know, he fulfilled the order for the client. And he realized after doing 5, 10, 20 of them that he was making more money per minute, you know, on a $2.99 charge fee that he got. It took him 15 minutes to do. He was making more money per minute than, you know, the 3 hours it would have taken to do it manually, but also convincing that client to pay that much money. And so we started trying to make this a kind of like a LegalZoom killer. So we started saying, well, let's sell this to other lawyers. And so we started talking to a bunch of lawyers and nobody cared. No lawyer was interested. They're like, yeah, I can do it myself. Or
I think like, what guarantee is the document that you're creating with this?
Yeah. And that's a big thing, right?
System. What guarantee is that legally sufficient for what I need? How do I know this cookie cutter approach isn't a cookie cutter for the wrong problem?
Oh man. And I can tell you from personal attorneys that I know, where, or a guy I talked to the other day said that he went to an attorney's office and brought his LegalZoom documents with him. And they were like, what is this junk you just brought us? And you know, everybody knows, I don't know how LegalZoom is such a big company and they have such poor, they couldn't pay an attorney or an in-house attorney to make a better set of documents. But that's a valid concern. And
how do you overcome that for better legal?
So my business partner basically built the document himself. So it's basically his document.
His work product.
That he worked on, I think, with some law professors. And so it's, you know, it's a document that has been worked on for a long time. And it's good. But if you don't want to use our document, and you're on our, you know, pro version, which we'll talk about in a second, you know, you can just upload your own documents and we'll show you how to tag that up to, you know, to fill in your own documents if you prefer to use your own document. But yeah, if you're an attorney and you like your own documents, I get it. You should be able to use those. But, you know, if someone is going to just come in off the street and go to our website, you know, are they going to use ours or are they going to download something that's free online? I'd rather them use ours. Cause you know, my business partner is a really solid attorney. He's, you know, been practicing for over 10 years, does really big deals, small deals, all in between. So you know, I trust him completely. But anyway, go ahead.
I can hear the attorneys who are listening on the podcast now saying, wait a second, why would I want to steer my clients to this service? You know, I get it that this works better for them, but how does this work for me? How can I make offer work for me?
Yeah, so I need to get, I'll tie into that. So we at first tried to sell it to attorneys. Nobody wanted it. Yeah. And so my business partner said, well, why don't we just try to like sell it online ourselves? And I was like, you mean just like on Google Ads? I was like, there's no way that we can compete with like LegalZoom and those big guys. But we had some money, put it out there, and we spent, I think, $1,000 on Google Ads and we made $600 back. It wasn't a profit, but we were like, wow, people are willing to buy online in a transactional way immediately and pay. You know, we started doing Texas LLC, so it was $5.99 out the door. It was $2.99 for our service and $300 for the state filing fee. So they're giving us $5.99 to handle this. And we're like, okay, so this is legit business. And so then we just kind of expanded that to all 50 states, started offering registered agent service, started doing state compliance service, which we do in-house and we automate ourselves. So and because I'm the tech guy, I spend all the time trying to automate this, make it as efficient as possible so we can turn these formations around as quickly as possible. My goal at the end of the year is for the instant states like New York and Wyoming to have an hour turnaround. So the way that gets into why an attorney or one of your listeners would be interested in this is that we built this from the ground up when we started to work for partners. So we've got what's called the partner program. So if you go to partner.betterlegal.com, you'll see that we have basically, we allow you the ability to carbon copy our site. So whereas LegalZoom wants to own the entire relationship, we're saying we just want the business. We've just developed this really cool tech to make our lives easier. Let us make your lives easier as well. Like, do you really want to go to the Secretary of State site, fill it out, go to the EIN or the IRS site, fill it out, create the operating agreement, and then have that same person say, oh, I need a name change. I need to change my registered agent. I got a new address. I want to add a manager or member. And so that's kind of what we're getting into now. So we've had the partner product for about a year, which is what we talked about last year. We had that, you know, horrific accident, you know, but you know, we've been building that over time. And so you can go to that site and you can, and we offer a free tier. So if you're an attorney or an accountant, last week we had a real estate professional sign on, and you do two or less a month, there's no charge. So you pay nothing and you tell us how much you want to charge. You can charge nothing. You can charge $50. You can charge $299 like we do, or you can charge $900 like my business partner does. And you just link to that from your website, or you just send that link out to if someone's kind of iffy on a price, or you know, it's kind of a generic formation. You just send them that link. They fill it out. And as soon as that money hits our bank, we'll collect the money for you. As soon as that money hits our bank account, we automatically fire off a snail mail check to you. So the gentleman that started the real estate as a real estate partner last week, he did four in a week the first week. And we sent him $1,100 in checks. So that's how it becomes, you know,
I think interesting. I think it's a brilliant pricing structure, particularly, you know, the tip your toe in the water free version.
Because it's always a good price.
Yeah, because it's free is always a good price. And it gets the attorney the opportunity to check it out and see how it works and be comfortable with it and review the documents. You're only doing two a month. You know, it's kind of like when I worked with HelloSign, the automated electronic signature company that I use. I used the free version. We get up to five documents done per month before I signed up for the paid version. And it was just a completely validating experience. I think it's great that you're doing that. And I kind of look at this, you know, when I think about it, it's kind of like you're the back end, you know, legal tech for a business attorney, somebody who wants to offer these services to their clients, either as a one-off proposition or part of a larger engagement, you know, that you are their legal aid.
Yeah, and that's nice that you say that, because it's really what we want to be. Is we want to be that legal tech back end. You know, my dad desperately wanted me to be an attorney. My dad's been practicing law for, you know, since 81, and you know, he's the guy that uses two fingers on each side. So he uses four fingers to type, and he still uses Word Perfect, I think.
Right.
And the younger attorney sent him the documents back, and they're like, please format this for Word and don't send me Word Perfect again. But, you know, I look at, you know, him being a sole practitioner my entire life, and my buddy and business partner being a sole practitioner. And there's just so much tech out there that a lot of people are not taking advantage of. And we're making calls to attorneys to, you know, kind of get ideas on this stuff. You know, we talk to attorneys that still fax this stuff in. And I understand that you don't want to change.
On faxes.
well, sometimes you have to fax. Like sometimes, depending on what the state filing is, you have to send them a fax, depending on what state and specific filing it is. Sometimes, hell, in Alabama, you've got a snail mail an attorney, or sorry, snail mail a judge, like a letter, and then they like sign it and send it back to you, and only then can you form it. So there's all kinds of weird stuff once you kind of get into the weeds in all 50 states, which kind of brings me to the other point of, you know, if you're doing these so often to where, you know, you're doing a Delaware LLC or a Texas, I mean Delaware LLC, that's one that needs to be faxed. If you're doing a Delaware LLC or Wyoming or Texas or California, and you do those over and over and over and over again, you probably have a system down. You're really good at it. You know exactly what you need to do. But if it happens infrequently enough to where it's just kind of an annoyance, that's where I want to come in and say, okay, well, let me take that annoyance off your back and allow you to make money on the process and allow you to still own the relationship. And, you know, we were talking earlier about, let's say you have 10 people coming to you asking you for a formation every month, and only two can afford your prices, and you turn eight people away. Those are eight leads that could have been clients that might be owners of $100 million businesses in three to five years, but they just didn't have the money right now and you turned them away. Why wouldn't you want them to be in your Rolodex so they refer to you as their attorney? And so when they have those future issues or they want to expand their business or add something to it or grow, then you're the person they refer to as their attorney. And when someone asks, you know, well, who did you get your formation done through? They're not going to say Better Legal through Neil Tyra. They're going to say Neil Tyra is my attorney.
Today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur is brought to you by our good friends at Ruby, and returning to the podcast, our friends at Spotlight Branding. Now, if you've been a listener of this podcast for any time, you know that I sing the praises of Ruby all the time because they're really responsible in my own practice for helping me grow my business, deliver personalized experience to my clients. You know, building customer loyalty, really, in terms of having a consistent front-facing office partner in Ruby, and allows me to stay connected anywhere, anytime to my business through their services. So I can't say enough about Ruby. I'm delighted to have them and continue to have them as a sponsor of this podcast. And for those of you who have listened for some time, you might recognize that returning to the sponsor position here with our podcast is Spotlight Branding. And Spotlight Branding, as you may remember, I was a client of theirs for many months, if not years, before they became a sponsor of the show. So I speak from experience that if you're looking to build content for your practice and have that managed for you in terms of blog posting, social media posting, email dissemination, email newsletter dissemination, that you can do no worse than Spotlight Branding. They're a terrific resource to draw upon, and I wholeheartedly support them, and I'm grateful for their sponsorship of this podcast.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. You know, I'm an estate, trusted estates attorney, estate planning attorney, and was a former litigator. But within my circle of friends and acquaintances and family members and neighbors and people I meet on the streets, although you don't meet too many on the streets anymore during the pandemic, but you know, the analogy is appropriate. It, you know, when they find out you're an attorney, you know, invariably somebody's going to ask you, "Can I ask you a quick question? Do you?" And oftentimes, it's, "Do you? Can you help me set up a partnership agreement, or can you help me set up an LLC? Do I need an LLC? Do I need to incorporate to do my business?" And in the past, I've said, "Yes, you do," and "No, I don't." And here's somebody that I can refer you to. Now that works, and that's great because I'm establishing a referral relationship with, you know, the attorney that I'm referring to. But oftentimes, I refer them, and then the referring attorney says, "Yeah, it costs you $2,000," and they say, "No, I can't do that." And so that whole exchange, that whole relationship is now gone. But if I were to say, "Yeah, I can do something really simple. I don't advertise that I do this because I'm a trust and estates attorney, but I could do this, you know, for you, and then we'll see where it goes from there." Now I'm the attorney that they look to for their legal deeds. And then it gives me the entree to say, "Hey, by the way, now that you're setting up this business properly, one aspect of business planning is succession planning. Have you thought about a will?"
Yeah. Yeah. No, I got you. And it's funny you mentioned that because especially in the COVID days, first of all, you're not going to have someone coming into your office anymore. You're already going to be virtual.
Right.
And so that kind of old school relationship of meeting someone and making them feel comfortable is kind of gone out the window anyway, at least temporarily. But then, you know, to your point about wills and whatnot, what happens to us a lot, and one of the reasons I'm really excited about talking about this right now, is that so often, whether it's a week later, a year later, or 2 years later, or 3 months later, or whatever it is, someone that forms through us comes to us and says, hey, I need to file a trademark. Hey, I need to change the name of my business. Hey, I need to expand from Texas to Oklahoma. How do I do that? And we've built a system in the dashboard, and you know, all of our partners get this by default. And so if someone is in their dashboard and they just try to change the name in their Oklahoma LLC, we register that change. We look into our database that now has over 1,500 filings supported and says, okay, what's the state filing fee? What do we charge for this? How long does it take? What's the summary of what this is? And we show that to the client. So the client makes a change in the dashboard, and all of a sudden they see this pop-up, this modal pop-up that says, you're trying to change the name of your Oklahoma LLC. Here's what that means. Here's how much the state charges for that. Here's how much we charge for that. Here's the turnaround time. And here's a mechanism to pay for it right now if you'd like to do that. Or if you've already done that and you're just kind of notifying us that you've done it, you have the sheet of paper from the state that says that you've done it, upload it here. And as soon as you upload it, it goes right into your little documents tab. And so everything that you do gets funneled into that documents tab. So you have this audit trail of all the paperwork and the filings that you've done over time. And the dashboard is always the freshest information. It's always, this is what the business is like today.
Well, let me, you know, comment on that a bit, because I'm so glad you brought it up. Because so many, you know, I started this conversation off with saying, I can't believe how many people are in business for themselves or in a partnership or a small business, and they haven't done what it takes to legally protect themselves through business formation. It's equally true, if not more true, that those very same people, if they have taken the time to create the proper business formation, very often fail to keep it up to date. And in doing so, they poke a whole lot of pins in the veil, the corporate veil that's protecting them.
Swiss cheese veil.
Yeah, make it more like cheesecloth, right? And it becomes less valid if none of the things that you've said in your incorporating documents are still true. You don't have the same members of your LLC. You're not using the same operating agreement. You don't have your registered agent has disappeared. Your mailing address has changed. And if you were to get in trouble and you went to wave that corporation document in front of the judge and say, hey, I'm protected, they might say, well, you're not really operating consistent with this document. You don't get the protection that it would ostensibly afford you. So those changes are really important.
Agreed, 100%. And doing those things, you know, like I said earlier, if you do these things all the time, you know, five a day, you're going to get used to them and you're going to be really good at them. But how often are you needing to do a Texas LLC name change or a corporation registered agent change or adding a member for a Wisconsin LLC because that's where the business of your client started and now he lives in your state? Like as I said, we have a database now and it's 1,510 different options over LLCs, corporations, and soon we'll offer LPs as well. So, I mean, that's a lot of different variations. And so we've built in this kind of automatic way to surface up what you need to the client. They can pay, get done with it quickly. We do the same speed that we do on our formations, and we put that document safely in that little documents tab.
So now, every change modification process, if I'm a partner with Better Legal, and they've created their formation through that partnership that I offered them. If, you know, I remind them in a year, hey, anything changed? And they say, oh yeah, as a matter of fact, I want to change this, that, or the other. Give them they already have the link, or I give them the link for to bring them back to the dashboard so they can make that change. Am I still able to add my pricing structure on top of that?
So that's something we're going to do. It's not something we're launching with right now.
Okay.
We've got a default amount, but we're working right now on with our first partners to actually allow them to pad registered agent and state compliance service. Okay. So our fees for that are $90 a year, or $10 a month. So $10 a month or $90 a year for a registered agent, $10 a month or $90 a year for state compliance. We have a partner that wants to charge $20 a month or $180 a year. And so that's what they're going to charge their in clients. And they're going to get that difference. And so we'll eventually allow that same bit with every single filing. So maybe you just want to add like a $10 or $15 fee on top of our basic fees. And so in the end, you're still making money on this whole thing for the lifetime value of the client just by allowing us to do this work for you.
Okay. I guess I was thinking more along the lanes of those kind of lines of those static changes. Like I want to change the name of a member or change a member out.
Right now we don't charge for that just because it doesn't need, you know, changing a member does. We actually do charge for that. But if they're just changing like their phone number or email address, we don't charge for that. But getting back to what your direct question was, we do actually charge for adding a member. It's still a piece of paper that needs to be generated.
Sure.
And signed. And we're facilitating that.
Can I add my fee on top of that, or is that something else that's coming down the line?
Down the line.
Okay.
Down the line. So, if you
being a partner, I can add my fee or not. I can choose mm-hmm. not to do anything, and they would be able we would be able to use the service as the back end support for
correct.
Creating their formation documents. Down the road, if we want to change something, you know, that's just a fee that I have to pay directly, the direct cost.
Right. And the reason we haven't built it in yet is just because there's so many options. We didn't know exactly how to surface that to the partner. Because right now we just say, how much do you want to charge for formation?
Right.
How much do you want to charge for a registered agent? And how much do you want to charge for state compliance? It's three options. But
right.
when you get into 1,500 options,
right.
It gets a little different. So we haven't decided yet how sure. we want to. Is it a percentage base? Is it just a blanket like $10 or
$50? Okay, you and I will have that tech discussion.
Yeah.
Later.
So, but yeah, our goal is to put, we want to make it more efficient for our partner, and we want to put money in their pocket. Because put money in their pocket, they're going to put more money in our pockets.
Is there branding opportunities available? Can I create, stamp my brand on the product?
So right now, we just kind of take all of our colors off of it, and your name is there in the upper left-hand corner. So whatever you put in the, you know, what your name is as the partner, it can be ABC Law Firm in the upper left-hand corner, and that's what the client will see. So they'll, as far as they're concerned, you're using a service that you've branded or you built it yourself. But you'll get a URL. So you'll be able to send that URL. So, you know, abclawfirm.betterlegal.com. Mm-hmm. And what my business partner does is he just links to it from his site. So he's got on his little profile page, you know, start an online LLC, click here, and it drops them right on the LLC page. But he also just sends that link to people. And, you know, he hasn't had one person balk at it in the year that we've been doing this, and he charged $900 per.
Yeah, that sounds great. I was just wondering.
And over time, our goal over time is to make that even more, more unnoticeable. So, like, we don't want to be in the URL.
Right.
We want you to be able to do your own colors. We want you to put your logo on there, and so we're moving in that direction. But it was really important for us to get the back end tech right first.
Yeah, put the dressing on the pig later.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So let's talk about that just for a second. How are you set up? Have you got this thing automated to the point where it's just you and your partner, or do you have staff that you're working with, or how are you structured?
We have about a dozen people. And so we have a filing team. We have people that talk to, customer experience team. And that brings up something else. So we have a partner that we're working on putting our chat bot onto.
Uh-huh.
So whenever their users, because this is a real estate, specifically a real estate LLC partner, And we're going to place our little chat bot that sits at the bottom right and place that on their site. And so people can ask questions and whatnot, and we act as if we're them. An attorney might not want to do that because of liability, and that's fine. But yeah, we have a team of filers. We have a team of developers that have to build all this stuff. We have a customer experience team that answers questions and, you know, what's the status of my filing and blah, blah, blah. We actually have an AI bot in the chat bot. So if someone says, hey, you know, I want to check on the status of my filing, if they answer the right questions the right way and they match the email address, it'll actually go and look up the status of their filing, and the chat bot will tell them what the status of their filing is. So no human has to talk to them. So yeah, but it's just a dozen people.
Okay. And well, I would also think that part of the challenge for you is making sure that you are pointed in the right directions for each jurisdiction. You know, states are kind of notorious for changing the location of their of their business websites. So I suspect that you got to do a continual audit to make sure that you're using or connected to the right spots.
Yeah. And so we're building in tools for all of that. So, you know, we've got a little bot that kind of records the process of filing a filing. So, you know, we've got a little extension where it records what the human is doing, and then that becomes kind of the process that is now automated. But, you know, if it breaks, you know, we can kind of have a health check on, like, okay, now that we have these hundreds and hundreds of bots that are working every day, we can do these checks to say, hey, is the site down? Did it move? Is it not responding? Where did it get stuck? And so those are the tools that we build over time that kind of makes us more robust and adds more value to us, to our end users, and to our borrowers.
Well, allows you to continue to maintain that quick turnaround. I imagine a whole scene like out of, what's that movie from the 70s where they're Cheyenne Mountain, they're looking at all the screens in the war room, and you get some alert that Wyoming's changed their location for filing EINs, and it flashes red, and you've got the whole SWAT team that comes in and fixes that.
It's funny, the folks that change the most so far are the IRS. I don't know what they do, but they add a button, or they move it, or they like change the name of a field. So my favorite is when that site just goes down. It just goes down. And they're like unforgiving about it. They're just like, deal with it. Like tough.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
I know, right? Man, I was you know, we were doing Delaware LLCs. We struggled the most with Delaware LLCs for a while. And I'm convinced that some employees come back from lunch, see how many faxes are on the fax machine, are like, oh God, that's just too many for today, and take half of them and shred them. Because like sometimes you just don't get the information back. You're like, you know, hey, what's the status on this? They're like, oh, we didn't get it. It's like, what do you mean you didn't get it? We faxed it to you. But because there's no, you know, because it's fax, that's what you have to deal with. So now we've built in little checks and stuff for that. We've got, but yeah, man, it's dealing with all these different states and all their changes. Florida went from like 5 days to 21 days because they cut staff randomly. Yeah, it's fun, interesting, and challenging at the same time.
Well, owning property in the great state of Delaware, I can tell you that they didn't get their moniker of slower, lower Delaware for nothing. So,
yeah, anyway, it's
love
it's
the state
because you get a state like Wyoming, and Wyoming, man, they are on top of it. Like their site is awesome. They have like a name check as you check out, so you can't even file unless it's going to get approved. And as soon as you're done, boom, it's already done.
And like a former resident of Cheyenne, Wyoming, that shocks me. But I'm very pleased to hear that.
I'm most impressed with the state of Wyoming, just for having been in this business for a couple of years.
I was going to ask you about that because you kept referencing Wyoming. I thought, holy cow, not too many people would pick that state as a paragon of business virtue. But in any case, Chad, listen, I want to thank you for taking the time to come back.
My pleasure.
Again, you're very understanding when we had the snafu a year ago. It worked out actually better because a couple of the products that we were talking about then, you've rolled out and they have matured.
They're much, much better, faster, bigger, stronger.
And I've I really like the website, the social proof that you have there of all the testimony of people who have used your service. You know, that should be enough to convince anybody. I mean, just hundreds upon hundreds of satisfied customers. So that's really speaks well to the service. Chad, tell our audience, if they want to get a hold of you or want to check out the service, what's the best way for them to do so?
Yeah, so you can just email me at Chad, that's C-H-A-D as in dog, at betterlegal.com. So Chad at betterlegal.com. And if you've got ideas, you know, we're always happy to kind of, you know, talk to people and figure out what their needs are and what their pain points are so we can keep making our system better. Reach out.
Well, I'm happy to include that in our show notes for those who are working out on the treadmill or driving in the car. And we will make sure that everybody gets that information. So, Chad, thanks again for taking the time to be with us today
on
The Law Entrepreneur.
All right.
Well, there you have it, Law Entrepreneurs. Thanks for being with us today and with this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors, as usual, Ruby Receptionists and Spotlight Branding. Make sure you swing on by our website at thelawentrepreneur.com or visit our Facebook page or Twitter account. You can find us anywhere by just searching on The Law Entrepreneur. Also, if you'd be kind enough, I'd love it if you could go to your podcast application and leave us a rating and a review. It helps with our visibility and it helps ensure that we're there to be found when people come looking for podcasts in the legal space. So once again, thanks for being a part of today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur.